welcome to the Blindfold Chess Podcast. During the 2020 pandemic, chess blew up in popularity due to the excess of streaming commentators and the Netflix show, The Queen's Gambit. In the show, we saw the main character, Beth Harmon, go from discovering the game to taking down the world champion in one game. While the show takes a couple liberties to dramatize the chess scene, it is still one of the best chess pieces of media that are out there. And there are some bad ones out there. Ahem, looking at you, Geico chess commercial. Don't think you can sneak two light square bishops past me. The 1983 novel was written by Walter Tevis. There were original plans for a screenplay adaptation, but that was called off after Tevis's death in 1984. There will be some spoilers for The Queen's Gambit. If you have not watched or finished it, you have been warned. Okay, Tevis loosely based his book off of his chess experiences as a C-class player, but the journey that Beth takes is loosely based on Bobby Fischer, the poor, misunderstood child prodigy to the best in the world. The coming-of-age journey sees Beth being placed in an orphanage after her mother dies. There, the staff gave tranquilizers to the students to keep them calm. Beth becomes addicted to those tranquilizers, coupled with borderline alcoholism as she becomes an adult. Along the way, she discovers chess, defeats local players, goes on to the U.S. Chess Championship, wins that, then moves on to the international stage where she eventually beats the reigning world champion. The show does a great job at capturing the chess scene of the 1950s and 60s, including the rarity of blitz, adjourned games, the various archetypes of the players, and the general etiquette of a chess tournament, as well as the sexism that went on behind the scenes back then. The show also took painstaking efforts to ensure that the chess over the board was accurate. Every shot of a chessboard included a position from a real-life game. I've included a link in the show notes of all the games and positions that are referenced, but here are a couple of the highlights. In episode 1, where Beth is playing the school janitor, Mr. Stable, the game comes from a 14-move game from Greco in the year 1620. In episode 2, we see a game from 1955 with Nezmedinov versus Kasparian. In episode 4, we see a game taken from Bobby Fischer versus Bent Larsen with a couple of minor tweaks. In episode 5, we see both an Ivanishuk game from 1995 and a Kramnik game from 2005, both of which didn't happen for another 30 to 40 years based on when the series was set, but I suppose I'm splitting hairs. And it wouldn't be a chess show without throwing in Paul Morphy's Opera House game, which is probably the most famous chess game in existence. Episode 6, we see a game from Paul Morphy, the unofficial American world champion. In episode 7, we get 5 different games referencing Kasparov, Petrosian, Korchnoi, Ivanchuk, and Topalov. I'm glad the producer spent so much time researching and referencing the real games that went in to elevate the show. And if you look behind the scenes, the story itself that they were trying to tell wasn't so much on the chess aspect, but it was on the price of geniusness. So even if it isn't their sole focus, they still put that much detail in. In today's game, we are looking at a game from episode 4 featuring Bernstein versus Capablanca in 1914. This game is a touch longer than we usually do, so if you're ready, let's begin.
One dot pawn to d4. Pawn to d5. 2, pawn to c4. Pawn to e6.
True to the series name, we are looking at a Queen's Gambit.
3, knight c3. Knight f6. 4. Knight f3. Bishop e7. 5. Bishop g5. Castle kingside. 6. Pawn to e3. Knight b to d7. 7. Rook c1. Pawn to b6.
From Black's perspective, what is the point of the move pawn to b6? That is to give the bishop on c8 a home, since the c8 to h3 diagonal will be occupied for the foreseeable future, as well as offer more support to the c5 square with a move like pawn c7 to c5.
8. Pawn c captures d5. Pawn e captures d5. 9. Queen f4. Bishop b7. Ten. Bishop a6. Bishop captures a6. 11. Queen captures a6. Pawn to c5. Twelve. Bishop captures f6. Knight captures f6. 13. Pawn d captures c5. Pawn b captures c5.
With the move pawn b captures on c5, Black now has two pawns, one on c5 and one on d5. These are classified as hanging pawns, where they cover a lot of space in the center of the board, but they have no pawn support. So it's sort of like a double-edged sword to try to take advantage of it.
Fourteen. Castle kingside. Queen b6. Fifteen. Queen e2. Pawn to c4.
The move c4 is quite committal from Black. What squares do they gain control of, and which squares did they give complete control to White? Black gained control of the d3 square and partial control of the b3 square, but he did give up control of the d4 square.
Sixteen. Rook f to d1. Rook f to d8. Seventeen. Knight d4. Bishop b4. 18. Pawn to b3. Rook a to c8. 19. Pawn b captures c4. Pawn d captures c4.
There is a quote from Nimzowitsch that goes, "The passed pawn is a criminal who should be kept under lock and key." Mild measures such as police surveillance are not sufficient. We're going to see very quickly that this passed pawn from black is going to cause white a lot of problems.
Rook c2. Bishop captures c3. Rook captures c3. Knight d5. Rook c2. Pawn to c3. Rook d to c1. Rook c5. Knight b3. Rook c6. Knight d4. Rook c7. Knight b5. Rook c5. Knight captures c3.
On the surface, it appears that Black has lost his extra pawn. But Black has something up his sleeve. Can you see what tactical shot he has?
Knight captures c3. Rook captures c3. Rook captures c3. Rook captures c3. Queen b2. White resigns.
Queen b2 is an absolutely phenomenal move. For one, it attacks the rook that is on d3. It attacks the queen that is on e2. It threatens checks on a1 and b1. And it also acts as a clearance sacrifice. Currently, the black queen can be captured from white's queen on e2. If that were to happen, then the black rook on d8 comes down to d1 and delivers checkmate. For white, there is no way out of this without losing at least the rook, if not more. So white decided to resign right here. The creators of the Netflix series did a wonderful job following fairly closely along with the source material, but they also gave us one of the best chess shows that are out there. I highly recommend it if you are of age and you enjoy those types of mini dramas. So that is all that we have for this episode. Tune in next and we continue to look at Games of the Masters and work on our blindfold skills.